All you need is a ball and a basket. That's a great thing about basketball, and that basket could be anything or anywhere. It could be below a highway underpass, or attached to a tree in the side yard, or at the court at your youth club. This is basketball broken down to its most basic element. And it's that stripped-down game that photographer Robin Layton captured in her book Hoop, The American Dream. For people like me who used to live on the edge of rims, this book makes you want to rediscover your childhood hoop. Because those are the baskets that Robin photographed. She traveled all around the U.S. taking pictures of hoops in driveways and in parks, on the sides of barns, in addition to childhood baskets of some of the world's most famous players. Robin said the book started with a hoop in the snow.
Well, I have a friend who we would send cards to each other as a way to keep in touch about 10 years ago. And one year, he sent me about 5 different basketball pictures, you know, a basketball hoop in front of a car and one that was maybe at a yard sale. And I kept telling him for 10 years, Andy, you have got to do a book. You've got to do calendars. This is a great idea. And he's like, no, I really don't want to. And so for 10 years, I kind of kept nudging him to do it. Well, when I was out in Ohio, I saw a hoop in the snow. And I was just kind of put one foot out of the car and took a picture of it, you know, half in the car, half out. And I thought, uh-oh, I knew right away that I had the hoop bug myself. And I thought, well, gosh, you know, there's no way I can do this. I have to call him right now. Like right there, I called him and I said, remember I've been telling you to do this hoop book for years? And he's like, yeah. And I said, I just took a picture of a hoop in the snow. Are you sure you don't want to do it? He said, nope, why don't you do it? Go for it. You have my blessing. Show me how to do it. So I rented a van, and I had this crazy idea to zigzag across America looking for unique hoops and then the childhood hoops of some of the most revered players of our time.
I'm curious, as I was going through the book, I kept thinking about what your own personal experience is with basketball, that, you know, you'd want to do this. I mean, did you grow up playing?
Everybody asked me that. I played intramurals in school, and I played softball. I was a softball player. But, I think it spoke to me, the metaphors in basketball spoke to me not only as a photographer, but as a person. I remember growing up and seeing this poster that really affected me. It was a ball in a gym, and the lights coming through the windows of the gym. And the caption under the poster said, "You miss 100% of the shots you don't take." And I really started thinking about that, and I even saw that before I was a photographer, and it just really spoke to me, like I said, as a person and a photographer. And also it was a challenge to take a ring, you know, with a backboard sometimes, sometimes not, and to make a different picture out of, you know, I shot over 100,000 images, and about 100 made it to the book. So it was a real challenge to make every photo different. So as a photographer, it was very exciting to do that. And I actually developed hoop eye. I can spot a hoop a mile away. I mean, I can be in the car with some friends, and I'm like, stop, there's a cool one over there. And they're like, how did you see that? It might be a telephone pole with a ring, you know. And watching TV now, I can't even watch a commercial or a TV show without, you know, I'll say to my partner, did you see that hoop? She's like, where? And then we'll back it up. She's like, how do you do that? I said, I guess I've just got hoop eye now. So.
I want to go back real quick. You talked about the challenge of, you know, you're taking pictures of this object, which is the same in a lot of senses. There's always a ring. It's always a hoop. How did you try and overcome that challenge of making each basket look unique and individual?
You know, I was fortunate enough to be a photojournalist for 5 different papers early in my career. And that training was invaluable. I mean, every day I had to go out in any kind of light, in any situation, and produce high-quality images. I could not come back to the office and go, oh, sorry, I don't have anything. And I think that training was invaluable in this project because, you know, I would wait sometimes when I could because, you know, we're traveling, you know, across the country, so you had to shoot when you could, what you could. You know, you couldn't say, I want to wait for the light when we have to be, you know, at the White House the next day or something. But I think I just that training and just trying to make something different just came natural to me, you know, because of my background.
A great addition to these stunning photos that you've captured in this book is the stories of players, you know, who've worshipped at the altar of the hoop. You have LeBron James, Shaquille O'Neal, Tamika Catchings, Coach Pat Summitt. All of these thoughts from basketball greats are included. What are some of the stories that stood out the most for you that you collected in the book?
Oh, there's so many. You know, on all of them, I'm so appreciative of the 31 players and coaches that participated. I guess the top two for me would be Doris Rogers. You know, she talks about how she was on the court, and I guess she had a great game, and then the next day she was ranting and raving on the court, acting like she was something, and her dad in the car on the way home said, hey, let me tell you something. You know how you were doing that? If you ever do that again, you'll never play again. He said, when you're good, you don't need to say anything. You don't need to do that. And I thought that was a great lesson for all of us, and you know, and especially kids that are playing now. And then Elgin Baylor's story really touched me about how they, you know, back then they called them the colors, and then they had the white courts, and they weren't allowed to play on the white court, so they had to climb the fence at night. And they couldn't even afford a basketball, and I think they started with a tennis ball and volleyball, and then they could afford a basketball. And that story really touched me. So, like I said, there's so many, but if I had to pick two that come to mind, those would be two.
You mentioned the White House earlier. How did you get that shot of the White House basketball hoop?
Well, I'll try to condense this. It's an involved and in-depth story, but I'll try to condense the story. I had four people try to get me into the White House. Four predominant people. I won't mention the first one, but one of the most influential people, a friend of mine that worked for one of the most influential people, and I thought, oh, this will be easy. That didn't work. And then I had was connected to Michelle Obama's photographer. That didn't work. And then I found out a fellow colleague that I worked with at a paper in Virginia worked there as a full-time staff photographer at the White House. I thought, oh, now I'm in, you know. And then I actually got connected to a senator. Well, all four couldn't get me in. And they all said, we aren't even allowed to walk on that basketball court. Good luck, and, you know, see you later. So I kept trying and trying and trying, and I actually was talking to Tamika Catching's sister, and Taja. Well, Taja called me and said, Tamika had her wisdom teeth out. I'm going to be your go-between because she can't really talk, so what do you need? So we chatted, and at the end of the conversation, I don't know what made me do this, but I said, do you know anybody at the White House? She said, I think I do. Oh, you know what? I'll text you her information when we hang up. So she texts me the information, and I write this woman named Jamie. Well, in the meantime, I've been writing everybody. You know, everybody that I talked to would send me an email, like photo at, you know, whitehouse.gov or something. So I kept calling and emailing, and one day I said to my friend, she was driving the van, I said, you know what, I'm going to take this into my own hands. I'm going to, give me my phone. She goes, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to cold call the White House. So I called, I looked on Google, I got the White House number, and this is how they answer the phone at the White House. White House. I'm like, hi. My name is Robin Layton, and I'm a photographer that lives in Seattle, and I'm going to travel across America photographing unique hoops, blah, blah, blah. You know, did the whole spiel, and I'd like to photograph the White House on basketball hoop. Who do I talk to? He's like, you want to do what? So this went on. I probably called three times a day. I was emailing all the emails they, you know, that they gave me. I emailed Jamie. Well, one day I get this email. Dear Robin, and this is from Jamie, I've gotten all your phone calls. I've gotten all your emails. Well, I didn't know this, but she was the White House press secretary, right? So all the emails and phone calls were directed to her. This poor woman was bombarded not only with phone calls, but, you know, images I was sending and PDFs of the book. And she's like, there's no way I can authorize this, but, you know, I'll get back to you. I'm like, oh, man, you know, this was my last hope. Well, then, like, 2 hours goes by, and she writes, Dear Robin, capital IF, if we were to do this, how much equipment would you have? And I'm like, uh-oh, we're getting close. And, I wrote back, oh, you know, not much equipment. 2 hours later, Dear Robin, if we were to do this, how many people would be with you, and how much time do you need? And I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's just my assistant and I. 5 seconds, you know, we can do it in 1 second, but 15 minutes would be great. So we drive towards D.C., stop a half hour outside of D.C. I said, Thomas, tell me, she's going to write me back. We check in the hotel, and my friend's unloading the van, and I'm checking in at the desk, and, you know, ladies doing the whole spiel, how many rooms, blah, blah, blah. And I get an email, ding, dear Robin, today is your lucky day. Be here at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. You've got 15 minutes. So I run, and I said to the lady, I'll be right back. So I run outside, and my friend's unloading the car, and I said, we got in, we got in. And she says, is it that great of a hotel? I said, no, we got in the White House. She's like, no way. So we spin each other around, and we couldn't believe it. We called everybody we knew. And I went up to my room, you know, just spinning. I couldn't believe it after months of trying and, you know, trying everything I possibly could. I put my key card on the desk, and I start unpacking, and I look again, and those little cardboard sleeves that go around your plastic, you know, room key, I can't believe it said this, but it says, the key to your dreams is in your own hands. That was on, and I, you know, there are no coincidences. I have that framed in my office. I mean, it was unbelievable, and we went, and you know, it was just amazing, and it was like the hottest day and the most humid day on the planet. And what an amazing thing that happened. That was just incredible.
You titled the book Hoop with the subtitle The American Dream. How do you think basketball is an illustration of the American Dream?
Well, you know what? Hoops are everywhere, and who has not thrown a ball up under the altar? You know, who has not played a game of horse, right? Or at least once. I mean, I bet you if you surveyed America, I bet you probably 99% of America has thrown a basketball up under some kind of hoop, you know. And I think that it just illustrates, you know, look at the people in the book. They all had this dream of becoming a basketball player, and they did, and it took a lot of work and a lot of ethics that they had to do to, you know, you always give your best. Look at Pat Summitt, who the book is actually dedicated to. Who exemplifies a champion more than Pat Summitt? That's why the book is dedicated to her and the Boys and Girls Club as well, because a lot of the players said the Boys and Girls Club changed their life. So I think Hoop the American Dream illustrates not only, you know, persevering your dreams and believing in yourself, but not only for basketball, but for everything. You know, it's across the board, and it's also the only sport in America that we actually have that documentation from. So it's just many, many levels.
Robin Layton is an award-winning photographer. Her book is called Hoop, The American Dream. Robin, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.